Okay, item C, community development. Continued public hearing on the first reading of ordinance reclassifying land in inappropriate community.
So that was for Kid Creek, so I think you were wanting to reference.
I'll show how Brandon handled it.
Yeah.
We should be on.
Or not.
9D.
It should be 9D, yes.
That works, right. We are, let's do D. And I believe the hearing's been open, Ms. Wendy.
Yes, this is a continued public hearing, and this is for the, let me find it here.
This is Assistant Planner Shelley Gray's project, so she has
connected
remotely.
The Blaze zone change, yes.
Go ahead, Shelley.
Yeah, it looks like she's unmuted.
Battery 100%.
Phil Jarab, Senior Planner. I can speak for Shelley if she's unable to connect.
I think that'll work. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is the Blaze zone change. Staff has not received any new comments regarding this that have not already been presented, and staff recommends approval of this project.
Sounds like a concise report. This, of course, is the second reading, so that's for sure. And we'll go on to any correspondence?
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Any presentation or reports by any other county departments or public agencies? Proponents? Opponents? Public comments? No rebuttals. Second reading. We'll close this hearing and bring discussion before the board. Or motion.
Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Kovseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
I'll be an aye. Item 9E, community development. We'll open the hearing.
And this is a continued public hearing as well, and I believe this is the Hickey zone change that was heard back on December 6th.
Yes, and Senior Planner Rachel Jarab will provide her presentation.
Thank you. As Haley said, Senior Planner Rachel Jarab, and this is the Hickey Zone change. It is the existing use that has been on the property since back in the 30s, and right now they are trying to correct the zoning so that it's appropriate for the historic use of the property. Staff recommends approval. We have not received any new comments that you haven't already heard. That's the end of my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Jarab. Presentation of correspondence, Ms. Wendy?
No correspondence at the clerk's level.
Proponents? Opponents? Not online?
Showing online.
Public comments?
Showing online.
No rebuttals then. Second reading, I'll close this hearing. And any discussion by board members? With that, I would make the motion.
Second.
Give me just a sec, please. All right, Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Okay, so we got through all the public hearings. What I'm going to do here now is recess as the Board of Supervisors. And we'll be under item number 10, be the Hammond Ranch. We'll recess as the Board of Supervisors, convene as County Service Area 4, Hammond Ranch.
It's not on the agenda. I think it got left off, but we should say public comment.
Oh, absolutely. Any public comment for County Service Area 4?
Showing none online.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Wendy, for catching me.
You're welcome.
Discussion of Hammond Ranch now. or was just the colleagues at the Cal Fire?
Absolutely. He's been waiting all day for this.
Good afternoon. I'm Greg Roth, representing the County Fire Warden. And what we're asking today is to adopt a resolution approving the agreement with Cal Fire for grant funding that was awarded to the Hammond Ranch CSA 4 Department for the Volunteer Fire Capacity Program, which is basically a communications funding where Hammond Ranch will be able to provide or purchase communications equipment, and this would allow reimbursement of $11,823.80 back to the department for that communications equipment.
If there's no questions, move to approve.
Second.
All righty.
Roll call away.
Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Cobbseth?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
Director Obrin?
Aye.
And Director Chris?
Aye.
Thank you.
I will adjourn County Service Area 4, reconvene as the Board of Supervisors. No one's here for any of the Board of Supervisors requests, are they? I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I can answer. If you have any questions, I can answer.
All right. We're all just doing with respect to time. We're going to do now is loophole. We're going to go to item 8A, which is the climate. Come back to that. I know the staff loves it when I do this.
Yeah.
And then after that, we'll do agriculture.
Thank you so much.
Looking at the clock here, but I'll say county administration, item 8A, MOU, Ms. Nielsen.
Yes, thank you. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. Before the board today is an MOU between the County, Pacific Corps, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Klamath River Renewal Corporation for the county to retain and Pacific Corps to fund a project manager to assist and direct local permitting and processing activities associated with the Lower Klamath Project. This is a 24-month MOU. with an annual deposit of $150,000 to be utilized towards that project manager position, which will be contracted out. And I did receive a couple phone calls yesterday, and so I just wanted to address those. In provision number 9 of the MOU, I believe there was some misunderstanding that if the MOU were to be canceled because the county intervened in any litigation or administrative actions against the project, that we would then have to pay back all the money. And just to clarify, the county would only be required to return the remaining funding after all invoices are paid. And it doesn't mean that this MOU would absolutely be canceled if there was any activity by the county, as I touched on. But the Pacific Corps has the opportunity to do, or has the option to do that, or to ensure that the funding they've deposited is not being utilized towards litigation. So just wanted to clarify that again. Whatever would be remaining after all invoices would be paid to that project manager and the associated costs would be returned to Pacific Corps. We are not required to pay back the funding we've already utilized towards the project manager. With that, I wanted to keep it short. There's a lot more detail in the agenda item, and I'm happy to take any questions.
No, thank you. We have public comment?
Showing one online.
Ms. Christie?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Chris. Thank you, Elizabeth. I would like a little bit more clarification on that termination of funding. There's a couple of things that I'm concerned about with. One of which is something that I've heard over and over again, is this FERC's good neighbor policy, and then also good faith. We've just witnessed on December 8th where the Renewal Corporation and the governors and the other signatories had a secret meeting where our county was not invited and our local residents were not invited. And even though we are the ones that are footing the bill and are suffering the consequences of these actions, Those are not the behaviors of a good neighbor. Everything that was at that meeting was paid for by us, and we were excluded. By us, I mean the county and the people of Siskiyou and the people of California. And everything that they had at that meeting, the hydroelectricity, the power, security, everything was paid for by us, but they hired outside the area. They even had law enforcement come from the Reading office, CHP, Reading. They didn't have anybody from Wairika come. They didn't have people housed here. So I have a problem with the whole good neighbor concept. I feel like the county is being railroaded into these, having to comply with these things that just add insult to injury. They are not the behaviors of a good neighbor. So I just wish the county would find some way to protect themselves from, to me, what just seems like mob tactics and bullies. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Chrissy Reynolds. Any other public comment online?
Showing no others online.
No online. Any comment in house? None in house. Wishes of my colleagues on item 8A.
Move to approve.
All second.
I've got a quick question before we do roll call. Will this document need to be signed today, or is it going to go through DocuSign?
Thank you for bringing that up. This, what we are asking the board to do is approve it and authorize the county administrator to sign in substantially the same manner that it is in front of the board today.
Okay. Right. Just make a note for the clerk's office to get a copy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, no, thank you for the clarifications there in your presentation, Elizabeth, in the beginning.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor
yep.
Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. Item 8B, Mr. Smith, the apiaries.
Mr. Chairman, it's my pleasure to introduce you to the president of the Siskiyou Bee Club. Thank you. That was a good time. And I'd like to say that this is going to be fun, just so you know.
Thank you.
Mr. Jerry Haikura is our president of the Siskiyou Bee Club. He lives in Mount Shasta and has an illustrious history in Siskiyou County, which I won't share. Some of you may recognize him, though. I guess none of you have met him before.
If we met, you might have got a ticket, but that was a while ago. I retired from the CHP here in Wairika. Good afternoon. Just missed morning, but what do you say we keep this light? Well, there's a lot of stress in the room, but we'll get rid of that. I'm not here to ask for anything. I'm not here to plead for anything. All I want is your attention for a few minutes. I'm going to drop a little bee knowledge on you and tell you what the County Bee Club's been doing and what they're going to do. And as the president, I'm granting myself the power to make you honorary members of the Bee Club. And today, that entitles you to a ball cap and a hefty jar of honey. So you're already ahead. I said, I'm not asking for anything. All right, so the Siskiyou Bee Club was formed 6 years ago. It was actually the Siskiyou County Beekeepers Association. We found that name to be a little wordy and a little off-putting, so now this year we've gone with the friendlier Siskiyou Bee Club. During the past few years, we've been struggling to retain our membership and attract new members. Through COVID, nobody wants to do Zoom meetings. We were affected too. So since then, we've been doing things a little bit differently to attract new members. The Ag Department allows us to meet at their office on the first Tuesday of every month after hours, and we are grateful for Jim and the Ag Department for allowing that, and by proxy, the Board of Supervisors for allowing that. So thank you very much. In addition to our regular demonstrations and discussions about bees, we've added to our program to make it more attractive by scheduling guest speakers, had more visual presentations with equipment, and we figured out that by providing some food from time to time, we can maximize out our attendance. As an example of demonstrations, this is Jim here with a knife showing how to uncap honey frames and get those caps loose, and those go into a mechanical extractor that through centrifugal force will bring out that honey. And there's Jim with another mechanical extractor. Jim's in a lot of these, it's just because I'm taking the pictures and I'm there. We've also been rather innovative this year in our outreach by raffling off hive and bee-related items to the general public. This generates bee-related discussions outside of our own circles and attracts even more people to the club, people who did not have any interest in the bee program before. So what are some other things that we as a club actually do? Well, first off, our first important thing is providing education and information to support new beekeepers become successful. So our favorite day of the year is called Bee Day, that we've aptly named it. It occurs sometime in April. It's the kickoff for new colonies, and this occurs after the commercial beekeepers from around the country have finished and completed pollinating the almond crop in California. They have an excess of bees that we can then purchase. So what you're looking at here, those are called bee packages. It's a wire box, or a wooden box with a wire frame that holds 3 pounds of bees. Inside of there is a can with sugar syrup for them to eat, and there's a queen that's been placed in there, a brand new queen. She is in her own little cage by herself, and she's suspended in there. Those bees and her do not know each other. They are just getting along, just in the introduction process. It takes about 3 to 5 days for them to become acquainted and become a working colony. So a new beekeeper is going to take that package home, shake it into a box with frames, suspend that queen in there, and then close it up. And in 3 to 4 days, go back and let that queen loose, and she will start laying eggs, and then your colony is off to the start. Those packages run, if you were to buy them commercially, I've seen $250 through our club. We're trying to promote beekeeping. We've been selling those for about $120. Another option for starting beekeeping is nukes. This is called a nucleus hive, and essentially it is a operating hive, just very small. There's 5 frames in there. There's brood frames and a few food frames. There's a queen. She's laying. It is an operating colony. It's a fast way to get started, particularly in a county like this where we have a shorter growing season because of winter weather. So the bees aren't doing much in the winter. This lets you start April. You've already got a working hive and it's going. So it's a kind of a jump start. These I've seen for as much as $300 ordered commercially. We do them for about $160. Next one. Last chance for any beekeepers, new beekeepers, to get last-minute instruction before they take their bees home. I think Jim is telling them right there, hey, if they start buzzing at you really loud, back off and get out of there. We also maintain a mentoring program to pair new beekeepers with seasoned bee handlers to make them more successful. Nothing works better than having somebody look over your shoulder to see what you're looking at. And there's enough information here for a seasoned beekeeper to say that those are 2-day-old eggs that are laid in there. Those look like little grains of rice. Those are 2 days old. It's a brand new queen, and she's just getting the hang of things. She's making some mistakes. She's got 2 eggs laid in some cells. She'll figure it out in a week or two. It takes her a little bit of time. But you can tell all that just by a quick glance, being seasoned. That big dinner plate looking orangish brown spot is the aptly named Varroa destructor mite. This is what is killing bees in California and throughout the country. That thing, besides being a parasite, is a vector for over 20 diseases that adversely affect bees. Fortunately, there are treatments available to help mitigate these. Some are pesticide type, there's other, they're organic acids. If you do nothing, then these will, within 2 years, they will absolutely destroy a working colony. Fortunately, this is actually such a threat to our food system that there are dozens of universities actively finding ways to mitigate this threat. There's something comes out new every year. I'm confident within the next decade or so that there will be something to take care of the vast majority of this. There are so many people working on this because it is such a problem. After beekeepers have had their bees for about a month, we bring them out for a field day. They've been able to see some things in their hive, and they're getting a lot of questions. They're starting to see more, and they have questions now. They can ask intelligent questions. What am I seeing and what's going on? And here Jim is showing a new beekeeper how to check underneath the brood frames for signs of swarming. Okay, if you see this, how many of you have cause for concern when you see this? Hanging on your car, hanging on the kids' playground? Okay, relax. It's okay. There's nothing bad going on here. Spring is beginning of swarm season. And what normally causes this is that bees get overcrowded. That's all it is. So what's happened is they've laid about a dozen queen cells in their old hive. And the day or two before those are hatched and they get a new queen, the old queen takes off and she takes half the colony with her. They're going to go find a new colony to start a new home. Why they're stopped like this, and they may stop for 2 hours or they may be there for 2 days, is it's for the queen to rest. She's twice as big as the other bees, the worker bees, but her wings are the same size. So they've slimmed her down for this flight, but she's still a big girl with little wings. So they're just there for her to rest. And once she's got her wind, they'll move on. This is the time when they are their absolute calmest. They have no brood to protect. They have no stores to protect. It's not uncommon to see someone picking up a swarm and they'll actually stick their whole hand in there and scoop the bees with bare hands. I won't do it, but a lot of people do without issue. Some of our bee club members are becoming quite proficient at collecting swarms. This is Denny Duncan. She never says no. That's too much. I won't be up on that ladder, but she doesn't have any fear. She's up there collecting that swarm.
That doesn't pass safety muster, I'll tell you.
You know, fortunately, OSHA doesn't rule us, yeah. So we're good.
We're good.
Next. And there's Denny again. We do get calls occasionally for what we call cutouts. This is when bees they've set up a colony inside somebody's home or office space in the walls. They call it a swarm. It's not a swarm. It's just a working colony. This is kind of a specialized field because you're cutting into people's homes. And so we generally don't do this in the winter because the bees won't survive. And you don't want people's bones of their home exposed. So we usually do this in spring and summer, but there's only a few people around to do it and do it safely. And I think most of us here are familiar with Ag Day, Ag Awareness Day. This is a big part of our mission statement, is to provide education and outreach. This is Sharon Fuller at this year's Ag Day. Talking to a very excited group of fourth graders about ag. And I'm telling you, what's awesome is these kids, most of them have already had some education in class about bees, so they show up with intelligent, insightful questions, and their excitement is infectious. It's pretty cool. And where we get most of our public contacts about information is at the county fair. Sadly, we didn't have a fair this year, so we threw all of our resources into the Fort Jones Fall Festival. We saw some of the same kids. And our board members, we can't help it. We love going out and talking to the public about bees. And if we can't talk to the public, we'll talk to each other. We're just as happy. The Siskiyou Bee Club, we also maintain a few hives at the fairgrounds. These are visible to fairgoers. This is done in concert with a community garden at the same location. We maintain those hives, treat them, and use that honey to continue club activities. These hives we've just renamed the Albert Hintz Memorial Beehives. Al Hintz was a commercial beekeeper from Greenview, a mentor of the club, a founding member, sadly passed away a short time ago. And if you didn't know Al, I'm sorry for your loss. He was an incredible person. Yes. Al, what a great guy. So if you hear stories about Al, the beekeeper out in Greenview, A&D Bees, this is him. All right, so our club, our focus in the past, we're only 6 years old, has always been on the next season because bees were one season ahead of us. They're going to start their spring here next week after the winter solstice. But with a six-year-old club, it's time to begin to look a little further. This is a Franklin's bumblebee. This is native to parts of Siskiyou County and other parts of the West. Sadly, a Franklin's bumblebee has not been spotted in the county in 7 years. There are several other native bees that are also in decline. So our club's intention is to begin exploring some long-term projects with the goal of saving or assisting native pollinators in the county. To that goal, we've just begun seeking out partnerships with local businesses to secure funding to implement these projects. And we'll be looking at doing some grant writing in the upcoming year to the same end. And these are beehives in my yard in the greatest district in the county. That's District 2.
Thank you.
And just to give you an idea, the county is very generous in allowing 9 hives per lot. I get 4 to 5 gallons per hive. So there's a potential for a lot of honey for even a new beekeeper. That's on a good year. Sadly, we have to leave each hive 120 pounds or 10 gallons of honey to get through the winter. That's how much they use alone. We take what's in excess of that. And even with our short season, we're able to do it. The bees work awful hard. Beekeeping is definitely work, but it is a labor of love. And when you walk past your hives on a summer day, and you can smell that honey, and you smell the propolis, it's their glue, you're glad you made the decision to be a beekeeper, and you want to pass on what you've learned down to the next generation. So while there is so much around us that's unsettled right now in our local, state, national, world communities, it's been my privilege to talk to you, to share some of the really good things that are happening, and the favorable works right now put out by your Siskiyou Bee Club. Thank you for your time and attention today.
Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Have some honey.
Thank you. And I do have a couple extra jars. I'm going to have to give them to the best supervisor.
Oh, no. I think you got some ladies out here. You got to
the little best that pass them out. So thank you very much for your time, everyone.
Thank you.
Any questions, colleagues?
You know, this is one of those positive things for me.
It is.
It's a whole Siskiyou County egg. Yeah. Just, you know, it's a hobby for a lot of people, of course. So it's much appreciated.
Yes, it is. It's overlooked as such an important part of our ecosystem.
Well, if you look for it, you can find local honey in the stores. I know that's what my wife gets first.
Oh, okay.
What kind of honey is it?
Oh, well, sure, it's over.
Sure.
No, sorry.
Okay. I didn't do that. Excuse me?
What kind of honey? What kind of honey is it?
Dark thistle honey.
Thank you.
And it's not this year's star thistle honey because there wasn't any star thistle honey this year, and there wasn't any star thistle honey last year. So this is 2 years old, I'm sorry to say. But it's just as good as that 3,000-year-old honey you find in the Egyptian tombs. That was just perfect. You know, if you guys would put your hats on, I'll take a picture.
Oh, yeah. Supervisor Kopsek, you have some questions?
Can you saturate the market? I mean, you're advocating for more beekeepers, but is there a limit?
That's a great question. Actually, there is. That's why there are limits for commercial beekeepers over how close they can be to each other, how close they can park. But for hobbyists, it's usually not an issue. I wouldn't put five or six neighbors with nine hives right next to each other, but if they each had a couple, they would be fine. The issues that we've had this year and last year is we did not have any spring rain. There was none. I live in South County. The only significant rainfall we had was just prior to blackberries. They made best awesome use of that. They put in away enough honey for them for winter and a little bit for me. So they did more than I can ask. If we get a normal year, that's when I'm getting that 18 to 20 gallons out of the water. And we just, the last 2 years have not been normal. And the smoke affects them too. They don't like to, we use smoke to calm them down so that we can inspect the hive. And the smoke in the air, they can't see correctly. The colors look subdued. It keeps them in. They don't want to go out. So all the things we've had the last few years have definitely affected the honey outcome. But that's a lot of reason why we're going to start focusing on working on long-term projects dealing with native pollinators that we have here and trying to preserve and protect those.
And then the small box versus the big box, what's the one that you can start right away? Do you eventually grow into bigger boxes, or how does that work?
You can start them both at the same time. The smaller box, it's just the bees. They have nothing else with them. You put them in a box, full-size box with frames. It takes them a few weeks to draw out enough comb in order to be it for that queen to start laying. And then they're focusing on that. It takes them longer to start bringing in pollen and other stores. Whereas with the other hive, the new hive, it's already operating and it's up to full speed already. So, but you do learn more when you use the method that is just the bees. You're watching them, paying attention to a little bit more, and it's more inexpensive to start that way. So we'll see you all at the next meeting.
I want to say that I know everybody focuses on this, but I use beeswax in woodworking.
Rightly so.
I used to get that from Mr. Heinz. So how much, I'm interested, I guess, is I have no idea how long it takes to produce like a cake of that wax. And what I use it, it's really good for starting wood screws and really hard wood. Or it's a permanent lubricant for wooden drawer slides.
I can say for my hives every year, most of the wax comes from capping or uncapping the honey. And you get a pile of it, and you drain it, and then melt it. I get 2 or 3 pounds out of my four hives.
Just curious. It's just another product that you never mentioned.
I use mine to make candles in a few shops down in Mount Shasta.
What is it? It's, I know a lot of farms, people, Jim's done this, Mr. Smith, they bring in their beehives and kept them out there for a while, and never been a problem for us.
No, and there's quite a few beekeepers who do that, more on a commercial scale.
Yeah, they're commercial.
They're usually, I think the last number I heard, Jim can correct me, is they're making $202 or $203 per hive to put on acreage, one hive per acre. They're getting about $203 for 2 weeks for that hive to pollinate. And I get offers all the time, hey, do you want to put some hives on my property? And to be honest, no, I don't. Because this is a hobby and I enjoy it. If I start having to do that, then it's a job.
Mm-hmm. You already had it, Chris.
I already had
that. I can appreciate that.
Thank you for your presentation. Mr. Smith.
Well, I just had one thing to say. Thank you for your foresight in passing the bee ordinance that we have. Mm-hmm. Counties without that bee ordinance are now being overrun by beekeepers, invading the Southern California environment, and they're crowding all the local beekeepers and the long-term migratory beekeepers to death. So So you might have a commercial beekeeper that comes to your county on a regular basis. All of a sudden, he's got 400 beehives right next door in a field that has a pretty adverse impact on the survival and growth and development of those other beehives. So those ordinances were very helpful. And I think we're going to see a couple other Northern California counties try to adopt those. Places that haven't are suffering from overstocking, just like if you have too many cows on an acre. Yeah. You know, you eat all your food and there's nothing to eat. They all die from starvation. We run into that in a lot of California counties right now. So it was very good that you supported that ordinance. I just want to thank you for that and point out how farsighted you were. Thank you very much.
That's nice to hear.
Well, it wasn't us. You were the one that brought it forward. So yeah, we were ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah.
So the density that we're supporting here, just so you know, is about every mile, 50 beehive in a mile circle. We have 468 bee sites in Siskiyou County during the July through November season. And most of those have about 50 beehives. Quite a few beehives come into the county, a lot from Shasta and Tehama County, a few from further south, Glenn County. But it's been pretty helpful to be able to tell people you can't just come to our county without checking with the commissioner first. That's a law, by the way. Yeah. And the laws are changing going forward, too. I thought I'd mention that. The Bee Club itself has been very helpful with the Ag Department. Some of the main problems that can arise with apiary issues that I have to regulate, that you have to regulate, are diseases and regulate pests. And a lot of those problems are aggravated by hobby beekeepers that don't know what they're doing. This club advocates education and outreach to a great degree. That's become a big, much less of a big problem. So it's been helpful in many fronts. And it's a lot of fun, too. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll go to, real quick, Ms. Wendy, we'll just do Board of Supervisors presentations.
Sure.
Requests. Item 11A. Local emergency, terminate or continue for drought.
Hang on, thank you. Okay, Supervisor Hill.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. Item 11B, for liberation of illegal cannabis.
Move to extend.
Second.
Alrighty, Supervisor Hill.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. Item 11C, mud creek flows. I see Mr. Shinoni was on.
He's on.
Oh, he's still on? He wants to extend, doesn't he? Okay. I'll just make the motion to extend.
Second.
That's to extend. Thank you. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Nope.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. McKinney Burn Fire, item 11D.
Second.
Let's see. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye. Any staff reports?
Nothing to report.
No staff reports. Board member reports? Supervisor Ogren?
November 19th, I attended the FFA dinner at Waterloo High School. Booming success for them. November 14th and 15th, I was honored to attend I was over in McDonald, Butte Valley with Forest Service, Blue Forest, Cal Deer Association, NorCal RC&D, and the Sierra Cascade Nursery people talking about the Juniper project that's going on over there in McDowell and Butte Valley, and it was a booming success. Their project is amazing, and it helps Supervisor Chris and I, and we're very encouraged to see that the Juniper project there works really closely with the Juniper project we're trying to put together with NCRP, so we're encouraged about that. November 16th, I had a Zoom meeting with Tracy Ryan from RCRC regarding Golden State Connect Authority and broadband. She was at Disneyland in a hallway trying to avoid noise, but we were talking about broadband funding opportunities. That was really encouraging and informational for me, and kind of funny because she was dodging Disneyland characters all the time. December 1st and 2nd, I was collaborating with the city and behavioral health to put together the warming shelter at City Hall in the evenings from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m., and we took care of about, I think it was 8 people the first night, about 10 people the second night. Jason Ledbetter and I, the city manager, were pretty instrumental in getting that put together along with Dr. Sarah Collard. It was a good success, and we'll probably be doing that again. And I don't want to discount Brian Shinoni. He was very instrumental in that as well. December 3rd, Wairika City Night of Lights was a great success on Minor Street. That was a great night. December 5th, Siskiyou Women in Business annual holiday gathering. That was a nice success for those ladies. December 8th, I attended Siskiyou Conservative Republicans meeting and luncheon. December 9th, we had the NCRP quarterly meeting. And I would like to say that Siskiyou County was well represented. Over $3 million worth of projects have been funded this time around, and that was pretty cool. One other thing, the YMCA, back in November, I watched the a week's worth of American Ninja Warrior program. They brought in the Ninja Coalition, and if you've ever watched that on TV, they had the whole gym was set up with all the Ninja Warrior equipment and everything. And Joe, the weatherman, who was one of the actual winners of the Ninja Warrior program, was there, along with, they had a couple other special people. One of the people from The Voice, one of the winners, was there. A bunch of other people, cool people, were there. And they ran through over 1,000 kids on that equipment throughout the week. And it was a pretty amazing program that the Y put on, and I stood around there for about 45 minutes and watched those kids. And if you've ever watched that program on TV, now I know I sit there and I try to help those people through all that equipment. I did the same thing while I was watching those kids. I was standing there going, "Oh, ah, help," helping them. And as I watched, and I've never seen such happy kids and happy parents watching their kids through that program. And it's amazing that the Y and also the school districts, through their outdoor program, are able to donate money and put that kind of a program on at no cost. And that's one of the great things that the Y is able to do for this community. So I thought I would just shout out to them because it's cool. So that's all I have. Sorry I took so long.
Well, that's fine. Supervisor Valtzman?
Yeah, I was... at a officer retreat. This is something that happens after our annual meeting. I am now, as Supervisor Chris knows, the past president. One of the things we do is we appoint people to the different policy committees. And just for the board's awareness here, I was actually in the California Wildfire and Forest Resiliency Task Force. They requested me, probably only because I was the president of one of the association. So if anything comes out of that, it's probably more general plans, but if you guys have any input, let me know, and I'll certainly give you feedback if anything comes out of that.
That's actually very fitting, because that's near the risk.
Well, as you well know, it's not just rural counties, it's suburban counties. Yeah. You know, I think what happened in Sonoma, that kind of thing, but you know, hopefully they're working on something that's significant.
And that was the CSAC retreat, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Officer retreat.
Supervisor Howe.
All consumed by constituents with kid fish at this point. many meetings and conversations with nothing else.
All right. Is where the cops at?
So at RCRC this last week, Supervisor Burr from Monmouth County was elected to second vice chair. So the North County representative on RCRC. And I also want to give recognition to Supervisor Valenzuela. It was, we're made aware, the RCRC board, that his position at CSAC as chair was instrumental in getting the governor's veto on AB 1717, which basically, if I'm understanding it correctly, was bringing prevailing wage. Into fire resiliency work. So
I think I had mentioned that earlier. Thank you for bringing that up. So
well,
it was, I was in that position, I was able to speak to high-level governor's staff,
yeah.
And it was just an opportunistic deal. I'd like to believe I was a straw that broke the camel's back. It wasn't me specifically, but obviously it was going through the veto process that it happened.
Stacy Heaton made the RCRC board fully aware that it was with your assistance that that made the veto. So at any rate, thank you.
And as you well know, Supervisor Cobb, being involved with RCRC, I was working for all the counties.
No, understood, because it did. It did benefit all California counties. So.
That's all. And then for me, the CSAC convention, I thank Supervisor Ogren for attending the Juniper Tree project in Butte Valley. I wasn't able to make it. Tiny Mighty Strong in Two Lakes and Butte Valley's running strong. SCED, the Superior California Economic Development Council. I'm currently the president of that board. And Robert Nash retired. We hired Ryan Richardson as his replacement. It's functioning fine. Just a little bit of turnover and change and stuff, but it's functioning well and still active. Bulldog Basketball Classic in Butte Valley, a town hall at Copco Lake. Attended with Supervisor Ogren, the North Coast Resource Partnership meeting, and then there was a parade in Butte Valley where I help out for Christmas Sunday night. Was that Wendy? You have one more.
Just an announcement. Coming up in January, if any of the supervisors are interested, January 10th, 11th, and 12th in Reading, is the 44th Annual Forest Vegetation Management Conference. And it's run by the Forest Management Coalition at the state level. It's this, the invitation and conference programs at the, I think it's the Gaia Hotel in Anderson. And anyway, you can find the announcement if you want, or I can forward it to Elizabeth. She can get it to anybody that's interested.
With that, we will return to closed session.